Hey friends, Heather Creekmore here. Thanks for listening to the Compared to Who show. This is a summer replay. I picked an episode that I knew was awesome, but that according to my statistics, not very many of you listened to. And I'm sorry you missed it, so I want to give you a second chance. Today's show is an interview with Dana White. She's written several books on home organization. She goes by the name A Slob Comes Clean. And I think it's really interesting as you listen to today's interview, just listen to what Dana says in the first couple minutes. And if you didn't know she was talking about home organization, you might think she was talking about body image. Towards the end of the interview, we get into some really amazing topics, like why do we hold on to all those clothes that don't fit? Friends, it is amazing the similarities between body image issues and home clutter, home organization issues. Now, you may be a perfectionist in every area, and so this show may not speak to you at all, but if you struggle with keeping it all together at home, you're going to love this show. Now, I will tell you it was recorded on Zoom, and so there's some wonkiness. I've tried to cut more of it out than before, but stick with it, friends, because I think you're going to get something really good out of it. Okay, here's the show. Enjoy my interview with Dana White from A Slob Comes Clean. Welcome to Compared to Who, the podcast to help you stop comparing and start living. I'm your host, Heather Creekmore. I hate to admit this, but I used to secretly obsess over my appearance. I thought it was part of my job as a woman to always look better, but never felt like I could be good enough. Maybe you can relate. God in His grace showed me a way out, and I want to give you all the tools you need to break free too. If you've ever spent too much time stressing over your looks, I get it. I hope you'll keep listening and find the same freedom I have. Here are three other things you should know about me. I'm a minivan driving mom of four. I'm author of the book Compared to Who and The Burden of Better. I'm a blogger at comparedtowho.me, and you just may have seen my epic big fail on Netflix. If you've ever struggled with comparison or body image issues, Compared to Who is the show for you. I hope you enjoy today's episode, and hey, tell a friend about it. Dana White, thank you so much for being on the Compared to Who show today.
Thank you for asking me to come on. This is fun.
We've hung out a little bit in real life. And what I love about you is that you are real and authentic. And as I was reading in your bio, I thought, you know, it's so funny. Like, you never thought you would be telling people how to declutter because it was a thing for you, right?
Right.
Being messy was a thing for you. And it's the same for me. Like, I never thought I'd be talking to women about body image issues because that was a thing for me. So how did this whole thing start for you? Where did you begin your journey in A Slob Coming Clean?
Well, I mean, it is the thing. When I, like, if you would have asked me, now I used to say 10 years ago, but now I've been actually doing this for close to 11 years. So it's crazy. But you know, if you would have asked me, I still failed. And that was what was so frustrating to me, was because I felt like God had called me to write. And yet the state of my house, which I had begged Him so many times to change, like, please change me, make me organized. He hadn't answered that prayer. And that was keeping me from writing, from doing the thing I felt like He had called me to do. And so it was right before my second child went to kindergarten. I was only going to have one kid at home. And I was like, this is the time. Like, this makes sense for me to start blogging. And I was praying and I was really frustrated with God, honestly. And I said, you know, why is it that you won't cure me of this messiness issue? And that was when He just made it clear that I should write about that. And I don't say this very often, but I heard God say, write about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's actually a really good idea. Okay. So I thought, okay, this is something that will help me focus. Like, this will help me stay focused on my home, because I felt like, well, that's my real issue. I never can keep my focus for a long period of time on it. And I thought, I will figure this out. And in a couple of months, I'll have it all under control and I'll be able to start writing about the thing I really want to write about, you know, which was basically anything except this, you know. What surprised me was, first of all, that I wasn't the only one out there. You know, I mean, I was in this weird thing because I was thinking of it as a practice blog. I was trying to promote it, but not to anybody I knew, like nobody I knew. My husband didn't even know that I had started this. So I didn't tell any friends what I was doing. So I was having people who were starting to come read my blog, and I really was petrified that people were going to be horrified because I was being completely and totally honest about my house and what I was doing and what I was trying and how this had always been a struggle. And people were not horrified. I mean, I'm sure some people were and just clicked away, but people started leaving comments and saying, this is my struggle too. Like, everything you're saying is exactly what goes through my head. I thought I was the only one, which was me. I thought I was the only one. So the first step for me was realizing I was not the only person in the universe who struggled with this stuff. And that was really big for me on this path of accepting that this is how I really am. You know, like, that was huge for me, knowing that I wasn't alone and knowing that all these people who were saying that they related to my struggles were really cool people. Like, they were, I think, and this sounds awful, but you have this idea in your head of, well, what's wrong with me that I can't get this under control? Mm-hmm. Because it just didn't add up in my brain, you know? And I'm like, these were intelligent women. They were very creative, artistic people. And I related to so many things about them, what I could find out, you know, because it's the internet. But when I started to realize that their struggles and my struggles were the same and their passions and my passions were the same, I started to realize that the creative side of me, the part of me that wanted to be a writer, was directly related to the struggle that I had, you know, of going all in on something and letting everything else, you know, my house go, basically. And when I realized that I realized, okay, well, this way that my brain works is how God created me. Like, there's a direct relationship there. Not all creative people struggle with being super duper messy, but most super duper messy people are highly creative people, you know? So it's a fact, and it's something that has been confirmed to me literally thousands of times over the last, you know, 10 years of doing this. So that was, you know, me staying focused, being completely honest. I had named my blog A Slob Comes Clean, thinking no one would ever know that it was me writing it. But because I had used such a horrible word, slob, which I'd always said, it's not like I'm a slob. I'm just, you know, chronically disorganized or whatever I wanted to say at the time. But because I had used that word and because I was realizing this was part of how my brain worked, it's like I had no reason to not be completely honest because it was anonymous. And so that was when I started making real progress, was accepting that my brain works this way, which also helped me accept that traditional organizing advice, which is generally written by naturally organized people because they're the ones who like to talk about this stuff, I didn't have to feel like a failure because that didn't work for me. Instead, I just needed to figure out what did work for me and my unique brain and how God created me. And so I started making progress. And then it was another couple of years, honestly, before I was willing to own that title of decluttering expert. You know, I mean, because it took so long for me to realize that someone could learn from me about this thing that it had always been a struggle and honestly is still a struggle. My natural tendency, you know, we were just talking about, my daughter had a drill team tryouts last week and it was all virtual because of the current situation, you know, that we're in. And so it was our obsession for the week. You know, she was practicing and she was learning and she was perfecting and we were videoing and we were videoing again and again and again and again, you know, all these different things. And my house went back to nowhere near what it used to be because I simply have so much less stuff in it. And I do have routines that I keep up with as much as I can in those moments. But, you know, it's like, that's my natural tendency, is to ignore the house and throw myself into a project, you know? And so I have to have systems set up and, you know, clutter out so that when there's an explosion, it's a whole lot less stuff than it used to be. But, you know, accepting this is my natural tendency and realizing there is something I can share with others, that was a huge step for me, is to realize, oh, I can help other people in this situation without being perfect first.
Yeah.
Because I always thought I needed to have it all figured out before I taught anybody something.
Yeah. I mean, and that's awesome. Cause I think reading between the lines of your story, it's like, that's where comparison creeps in, right?
Absolutely.
It's like comparison creeps in and it says, look at all these beautiful, perfectly kept homes on Instagram. And you're not one of those. So forget the whole thing.
Well, you know, I still struggle with it because I do, I mean, you know, the whole idea when you mentioned Instagram of people talking about the grid, I don't know if you know what that, what I'm talking about when I say that, but they're like, I just saw somebody and this sounds horrible, but I unfollowed them immediately because I didn't actually know them. So I'm not, he's one of those where I'm like, why am I following this person? I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway, it wasn't a personal friend or anything, but they said something about, I wish I could post this picture in black and white because I like it better that way, but I can't because it would mess up my grid. And that means like how, when you see all their pictures together, does it make this beautiful cohesive thing? And I thought, that's not what I want. I mean, you know, cause it just made me feel like, oh, well, my grid is an embarrassment. Like if anybody goes and looks at my grid, they're going to be like, what is this person even putting on Instagram?
Mine too. You know? It's awful. It's really awful.
I mean, I have to make myself not care. You know what I mean? I'm like, that would take time that I don't have time to give. I mean, you know, and it's fine if you want your grid to be that way. It's fine if that lights your fire. Do you know what I mean? If you love the grid, if you love that, and there are so many people who that's how their brain works and they love it and that's great, but I cannot compare myself to those people because I see the grid and I go, oh, that's nice. You know, and then I see mine. I'm like, oh, whatever. And then somebody says something and I realize, oh, mine is a whole lot less than theirs is, you know? And so I just have to stay away from that.
Are you tired of comparing yourself to others? It's time to break free, my friend. Check out comparedtowho.me online and you'll find a ton of great resources, blog posts, videos, and so much more to help you stop comparing and start living. And make sure you sign up for my exclusive email list while you're there. I send my email friends things I don't send anyone else. You can also find out more about my brand new book, The Burden of Better, How a Comparison-Free Life Leads to Joy, Peace, and Rest. If you're tired of battling comparison, friend, I wrote this book just for you. Check it out right after this episode, of course. I need tips from realistic, reasonable people like you, because I can't Marie Kondo. I can't hug everything. Like, it's just not going to work for me.
Well, and that's exactly where I had to accept that I was that person, that there's an actual need for me to be honest about how this is a struggle and what I have to do to make it work. That isn't what normal people do, you know? And I say normal people, and sometimes people get offended. I always just mean like normal is anything that's other than me. I'm not normal and I've never tried to be, you know, but, and two, you know, for people who are listening and are like, oh, you know what, if I hold back on what I know, then there's a big gap of information that people really do need. Cause I always said my frustration with traditional organizing advice is I was lost on page three. Like, I felt like their before photos were my dream after photos. And so I could not, so I was like, well, what do I do before this? You know, like, but how do I even get to this point that you think is your starting point to get organized? You know, like I couldn't find anybody who was writing about total disaster to, oh, okay, now it's time that we can actually start talking about getting organized, you know? And so that's where I came in, and I still don't love it. I mean, I've embraced it and I love my job. I think it, and being honest is so much more freeing than trying to hide ever was, but I still cringe, you know, and I still sometimes will hit publish on something while I'm making this face. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and put that onto the world because that is what I needed to see. And I wasn't seeing it anywhere. Like I needed to see, oh, okay. I'm not the only one in the world who has an actually disastrous, messy space, you know? And that's hard. I mean, you know, that's like, really, God, that's where you put me. I don't get to be cool. I don't get to be impressive or whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It is giving up that desire for people to think you're perfect. right? Because I think that's something we all fight. It's like, okay, there's part of me that really wants you to think I have it all together, you know? And so I'm going to, by doing this, I've got to show you that I don't have it all together. But what a gift. I mean, I remember as a pastor's wife, I mean, I'm still a pastor's wife, when my husband was the lead pastor of our church, I remember this first couple years, like the pressure, just internal pressure was always on me. Like my house had to be perfect. If people were coming over, it had to, you know, look a certain way, be a certain way. And then as God started working on my heart, I realized it was probably a lot more freeing for people to come to my house and see that I had dirty dishes there, to see that the laundry wasn't all folded. There were laundry baskets sitting around, those kind of things. And so letting people see that my house wasn't always perfect was a hurdle. One of my most popular blog posts ever is called How Cleaning Your House Like a Crazy Woman Relates to Your Body Image. Because I think a lot of women that have body image issues or struggle with it, like I think that's the hurdle. The hurdle is I want people to think well of me. And so I'm worried about what all this looks like. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also really worried about what my house looks like when you come over. But when you're not coming over, then it's all bets are off. So, yes. Dana, for those of us who live often with the all bets are off kind of home decor. I mean, see, I married a Marine. So, I mean, my husband like puts my children, if it wasn't for him, we would live in completely different conditions, but he puts the kids to work. I mean, so slobs like me, where do we start? What's your quick tip?
Hey there. How much is freedom worth to you? That's kind of an odd question, right? When I was in the midst of my struggle with disordered eating and body image, I would have paid anything I had to be free. Truth is, I spent a lot of my budget on things I thought could help me be free, like new diets, exercise gizmos, clothing, but none of those things really helped. I'm so grateful that God showed me the way out. And now I'm passionate about helping others find their way out too. I want them to know that Jesus already paid it all. They don't have to spend another cent to find the freedom they really desire. But truth is, it does cost me something to get this message out, compared to who can't spread the message of Jesus' offer of freedom without the help of women like you. Would you consider making a contribution? Check out Compared to Who's Patreon page at patreon.com/comparedtowho. Then prayerfully consider giving $1 or $5 a month, whatever you can to help. Any amount you'd be willing to donate would be a huge blessing and will go directly towards covering the operating expenses of this ministry. Thank you for being a part of seeing other women set free from the chains of body image and comparison. May God bless your generosity.
Okay, so number one is to realize that your house is not a project. I love projects. We were just talking about how I enjoyed having something to obsess over last week, lit my fire. I mean, like, I enjoy that. So I like projects. You know, that's just how my brain works. And it's a great quality in a lot of areas of life, but it is not a great quality in keeping your house under control. So I always thought I needed to get my house perfect. Like, I just need to clean it from top to bottom and then maintain it. And in reality, that never worked because, first of all, when do you have time to clean it from top to bottom, especially once you add kids and then kids get old enough to have their own activities and all the different things as life gets busier? You know, it's just not reality for me to be able to say I'm doing nothing else for this day or this 2 days or this week or whatever to get my house under control. And so I would put it off longer. It would be more overwhelming, which meant I put it off longer. And it just never ended up happening. Besides, if I did get my house perfect, like for a party, I would want to enjoy it and just be like, oh, I did all that work. And I wanted to sit back and just, you know, live in my clean house, except that meant my house was not staying clean, you know? So it just never worked to have the project mentality with my house. So because I was desperate, because I didn't know what to do, I decided I am just going to focus on the things I see that tend to not be issues in other people's houses. And they are in mine. So I started with my dishes. I said, I'm just going to do my dishes every day. Don't know the perfect way to do them. I'm just going to try to keep them done. And I started adding tasks. I basically would work on one for a week and would until it started to not feel foreign to me. And then as that started to feel more natural, not completely natural, but I would add another task that I would do. And what I learned was it's the daily stuff that is the difference between a house that's under control and a house that's not. So the two daily things that I have narrowed it down to be the absolute most important are having your dishes done at some point in the day. Okay. Whatever that means. There's no perfect way to do it. Mm-hmm. Just at some point in the day. And after a week of obsessing over that, you'll figure out what it looks like in your home right now. Okay. Which right now is unique. You know, I mean,
there's a lot of dishes right now.
Yes. Tons of dishes. And then doing a 5-minute pickup. Like, and I do mean 5 minutes. I don't mean trick yourself into actually working for 30 minutes, but like literally set the timer for 5 minutes and pick things up and put them all the way away. Not like gather them up and then at the end of 5 minutes, I'm going to go put them away. Actually, like, this goes here. Anything else go to that spot? I'm going to grab it too and take it. So, and here's the thing, and I'm going to plug my book really quick, but it's also all, you know, everywhere else that I write online. But I was the person who thought I was smarter than that. If that makes any, like, I thought Absolutely. I was smarter than all the women ever who've ever kept their house under control. I was like, there's got to be a better way, you know, than actually just doing the dishes every day. Yeah. So like in my first book, I go into all of the reasons why I didn't believe that was true. Like, where I thought there's got to be something different because doing the dishes is not fun at all. And so the reason I bring that up is because I know how I was. I know that when someone said, oh, just do your dishes every day, I was like, it can't be as simple as that. It's not as simple as that because this, and this. Mm-hmm. And I acknowledge that because that was me. And so I don't want someone to think, oh, she's oversimplifying. Oh, if there's anything I ever don't do, it's oversimplifying.
Yeah.
I can complicate anything. Give it a try. Like give daily stuff a try.
Yeah. Well, let me jump in for a second because it makes me think of, for example, when I'm talking to women about spiritual growth, it's
we'll
spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. No. I want to be closer to God. Like I need something. Like, spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. But no, it needs to, I mean, there's all these excuses, but my husband, when he talks about this, when I've heard him say this from the pulpit, it's like, what do football teams practice? Well, they practice throwing the ball and tackling it. It's like, it's the basics. And every single day they do the basics. I mean, that's what foundation of a good football team is built on, whether you know football or not. It's the basics, right? And it sounds like that's
what you're
really
saying. Basic science. I mean, it is, but it's like that idea that there has to be a trick or magic.
Yep.
Or, you know, and it's like, no, I'm sorry. There's no magic. You literally have to do your dishes every single day. Well, like, and I call it dishes math, you know, cause it's, and that's part of the problem for me is I thought doing the dishes was this big, huge project because I didn't do them every day. And one day's worth of dishes, I didn't even know is only like 10 to 15 minutes worth of work because whenever I did the dishes, it was after 2 or 3 days at the least. And it was, you know, hours worth of work where 2 days worth of dishes is not just double the time because there's so much finagling and stuff that you have to do. And, you know, you can't get it all in one load or whatever. So then it becomes from 10 minutes, it goes to an hour. And then the third day it's hours, you know? So yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's the exact same concept of that can't be enough. And so I'm not even going to try it because I would rather sit down and create a list of all the things I'm going to do to have a perfect house. But then that list itself is overwhelming. And by the time I've finished writing it, all that energy that I had to change and be completely different from now on for the rest of my life, it's all gone, you know? And my house doesn't look any better. And then I lose the list anyway. So, you know.
And I think everything you just said there applies to what women do with their bodies, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, it can't be enough for me just to go on a 30-minute walk and, you know, try to cut out 1 to 2 desserts a week. I have to go on a crazy diet and I have to exercise for way too long every day to a point where I can't sustain it. And it's like, and none of that, I don't believe any of that really solves body image issues, but just kind of separating body image from like what we do to make ourselves physically more healthy. It's, we do the exact same thing. I've got to find, I've got to make this list of all the ways I need to be better. And I think that kind of loops right back around to your first suggestion. Your house is not a project. Your body is not a project either, you know? And so I think there's just, that's a perfect synergy there. I love how all that goes together.
Well, and then there's the clutter. You know, the clutter is the same thing. And here's the thing about clutter. I always tell people, start with the dishes, but clutter is just as important because the more stuff you have in your house, the harder it's going to be to do the daily stuff. And if you're not doing the daily stuff, any decluttering that you do just, it's like it didn't happen, you know? So, I mean, all those things go together, but the same thing with clutter is looking at a space, a pile, a messy drawer, a messy closet, a messy living room, whatever, and thinking that is a project, as opposed to, you know, my steps that I use, my first step is to grab a black trash bag and throw away trash. You know, I mean, like that's it. And that will, number one, get you moving, but it'll also start you differentiating between just this overall idea of stuff and picking out what can just be thrown away. And when you do that, you start to see individual things that you're going to have to deal with as opposed to just this mass of clutter, which is overwhelming. And so, you know, it's that working through, and that also means that you can make progress. You can't make it better. You can't finish, but you can make progress in 5 minutes of just throwing stuff away, and it's going to look better than it did before. You know, so it's that, it's the same idea of there's so much more value in little bitty steps than there is in trying to fix everything and change completely starting now. Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, that's the way.
Well, the tortoise wins the race, right? And the hare has to take a nap. So, you know, it's inch by inch, right? So what about our closets? Because this is a topic that comes up in the blog and things I do. Women, especially those of us who have kind of been on the up and down of the scale and the size, like I had a dress in my closet from 15 years ago. That's a size that it won't even fit on my leg now. Right. But what advice do you have for women like me who tend to hold on to all the sizes just in case? Any suggestions there?
Well, so there's this magical concept, which is not magic at all, that I call the container concept. And what that is, okay, so the story behind it is that I always thought containers were for putting things in. Like I thought organized people like containers, so I would buy them, and mine never looked like other people's. And so I didn't see the results that I thought I was going to. And I was like, I don't understand. So one day I was decluttering and I was talking to myself and I was like, container. And I realized that the word container, the root word is contain. Like it's meant to be a limit. And so the very short version of this is that I realized, okay, containers are not for putting things in, therefore making the decision of how much I can keep. And I realized that every space in my home, my entire house itself is a container. It's a limit. It's a natural limit. And the beauty of it is that when I let containers, which your closet is a container, when I let containers make the decisions, it takes the pressure off of me of making those decisions. So for example, your closet is a natural container. It's a space that is defined. Like the answer is not to get a portable closet, you know, to add to some other space in my room. You know, the answer is to accept the size of the actual closet that you actually have in the life that you're living in the house that you're in. Okay. And the way a container would work, it's a little bit harder with your closet because I am not a fan of pulling everything out and then only putting things back, because that just ends up being a disaster later because I never get to all the stuff out. But anyway, start pulling things out until things fit in your closet well. Okay. So the stuff that deserves space in your closet is the stuff that you wear right now. You can totally keep those other things for, you know, that like maybe don't fit right now, but that's what I'm hoping someday will fit, or it just has some kind of sentimental value. For me, I was a theater arts teacher. And so I have several things that I'm like, oh, that makes such a great costume for whatever, you know, I mean, like, sure, even though I don't necessarily need it anymore, but whatever. When you view your closet as a limit to how much you can keep, it helps you identify the things that deserve space in the container. Does that make sense?
It does.
And when you start to think of it that way, it frees you from thinking through the fact of, okay, should I keep this? Let me try to be realistic about, you know, will I ever be this size again? Or let me try to be realistic about this, you know, which can really get into your head. I mean, like you can really go down a lot of roads there that are not necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
But instead you just say, is there space in the container? It's not me. I would keep this except that the fact that it doesn't fit in my closet. And since it doesn't fit in my closet, it doesn't, I can't keep it. I can keep it, but I might have to get rid of something else. And when I compare the two things of this black shirt that I wear all the time, mm-hmm. and it fits me no matter whether I've fluctuated here or there, what, you know, like I love this shirt versus this thing that I wore 20 years ago, all of a sudden it reveals to me, oh, well, yeah. I mean, if it's between these two things, I'm going to keep this one, but there's only space for one of them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and the one thing that I've talked to women about before is just if it's causing you shame to have it in your closet, I mean, like you wouldn't, I don't know, like if there was an award that you, well, that doesn't, that's a really horrible example. I was thinking if there's an award you won that you would be embarrassed about, I don't know. Slob of the month. I don't know. I can't really think of a good illustration there. But it's like, you wouldn't put that ridiculous award on your shelf for everyone to see. But yet, like we keep these size, you know, way too small clothes in our closet. And it's like, sometimes I feel like you go in the closet and every time you go in there, it's like a bullet to your body image. You're like, oh yeah, that doesn't fit anymore. And so it's like in those cases, and like, it just, you got to get it out of there. But I
a parallel would be, that's maybe not quite so sensitive to a lot of us, but a parallel would be moms who are like, okay, do I keep the 18 month clothes when I'm not for sure if I'm going to have another kid? You know, I mean, like that's, we don't know. Just like us, we're not for sure what's going to happen down the way. Am I going to regret this? Whatever, which I've just had to learn to get over decluttering regret, to just say it's better to have a space that I enjoy and I can function in and I can live in. I'd rather have that and risk the decluttering regret than keep, hold on to it and not be able to use my space and enjoy it. But so it's the same concept with the mom who's not for sure, should she keep this, keep these other clothes? It basically comes down to, you can keep it if you have the space to designate to it and to make sure it's actually in a place where you'll be able to find it and know where it is later. Okay. And most of the time that severely limits how much you can keep, you know? And so maybe you do have a little bit of space, but over time, the more you declutter your closet, you're going to go, you know what? I really would rather keep this than that. And so, you know, this doesn't deserve the space. And it just starts to change how you view it when you can blame the container and the space that there is, instead of going through all the analysis of whether or not I should keep this.
Yeah, that's really good. Why do you think stuff has such a hold on us?
So in my Decluttering at the Speed of Life book, I talk about dreams. Mm-hmm. And like, I really believe that a lot of, and I am not a licensed mental health professional, but anyway,
neither am I.
but I did write a book and they published it.
Exactly. Like,
so, you know, I get to,
you got credit.
I believe that a lot of clutter is the physical manifestation of the denial stage of grief. And here's the thing. If I just have the stuff and I ignore it, I pretend it doesn't exist, I can avoid going through the accepting of my reality. And for a lot of people, it might be their work clothes. You know, maybe they have gone into a different stage of life and they're wearing yoga pants right now, which, I mean, we're all wearing yoga pants right now, right? But I mean, right now.
Yeah.
But maybe like they're in a
top, I've got yoga pants on below it.
Oh, exactly. I have shorts on. but they're going through this phase of life, and to let go of those office work clothes that they never once spent a lot of money on, that represented a time in their life where they felt very capable and very respected and they had a certain identity. That's hard. I mean, and acknowledging that, letting go of that is a grief process, because you are letting go of, or walking through, you know, I mean, you can't just skip over grief. Like, there's an actual walking through the process of acknowledging that things are not what I thought they were going to be. You know, whether it's from the death of a loved one and you're having to go through life making decisions on your own when you thought you were going to have somebody else to make those decisions with you, whether it's a divorce, whether it's just simply moving into a different phase, all of that kind of stuff. If you just leave the stuff there, you can avoid having to feel those feelings. But to go through that stuff, you're going to have to walk through that grief and you're not going to be able to deny anymore. So yeah, it's, but there's a lot more to it. I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's tons of things, but I do think that's a real process, especially for women, you know, because a lot of times that stuff represents a phase of my life, which represented a part of who I was. Yeah. And maybe I'm not that person anymore, or I don't know how to be that person anymore or whatever.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Well, one thing I've been thinking a lot about is how, and I'm sure you've heard this, you know, like anyone who had grandparents that went through the Depression in the 20s, in the 1920s, you know, was raised by, you know, parents who grew up under those parents and learned hoarding, right? Mm-hmm. Like learned to, you know, like make do, scrape it together. Even if that wasn't their reality when they got older, you know, they learned those tendencies. And I've just been thinking in all of this, like, are we just repeating it? You know, I mean, I know what my pantry looks like. And, you know, and my son dropped a jar of spaghetti sauce the other day, and his first response was, "Oh no, we can't afford to lose a jar of spaghetti sauce during a pandemic." And I was like, "No, dude, we're okay." But no, it's like, but they're hearing those messages, whether I'm saying them or not, they're getting that.
Well, exactly. You know, I, my people, that's what I call my people who, you know, relate to, who need what I have to give, you know, what I have to share. This has been a real struggle during this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a legitimate paralyzer to think, you know, it's kind of like all the things that we've kept, we're like, oh, I'm so glad I kept that, because now is when, you know, it feels like it's not, but it feels like the world is ending. And I was keeping that just in case the world ended, you know? And it's, and so it's that mentality, or it's the thinking of needing something, not having it, and remembering having decluttered it in the past and thinking, well, I don't want to do that again. So it's, there's a lot of struggle there. I have to go back to, but I can still throw away trash. Even if I don't make any difficult decisions, I can still do those real basic things that I have in my steps, which is the trash and then the easy stuff, getting it back to its established home, you know, finding homes for things. That's part of my process, you know, so it's like the letting myself do all the things up to the point where I have to make difficult decisions, because the reality is a lot of stuff is not a difficult decision, but I put it off because I know that that pile or that drawer contains a few difficult decisions. And so it just seems like the drawer itself is full of difficult decisions. And instead letting myself say, I'm going to make all the easy decisions and it's going to be so much better, even if I don't get to the difficult decisions, you know? So there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot right now that is hard for people who struggle with clutter.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Well, Dana, I know that every one of my listeners or viewers would benefit from reading your books. So I know Decluttering at the Speed of Life. And tell me what the first one was.
How to Manage Your Home Without Losing Your Mind.
And we can find those on Amazon and all the places, I know.
Yeah, just go to aslobcomesclean.com/book. And that has all the links to everywhere. Great. You know, I mean, they're in all the formats, Audible and Kindle and Nook and all that.
So. Wonderful. And I'll put all those links in the show notes so everyone can connect with you. Well, Dana, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your wisdom and your thoughts.
This has been fun. Thank you. I do love how there's such a correlation between these subjects.
It's really crazy. Dana, thanks again. And thank you for watching or listening to the Compare To podcast. I hope something in this episode has helped you stop comparing and start living. Bye-bye.
Hello, hello, Quinice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.